While you worked on your app, you undoubtedly spent a lot of time testing in Visual Studio, setting breakpoints and whatnot. But as you get ready to publish your application to the store, where users on a variety of devices will be running your app, it's a good idea to run through various scenarios that are a bit different from the primary environment in which you developed and tested. For instance, how well does your app work with larger resolutions, with smaller ones? How does Snap View look? Now, how does your app look in portrait mode? If your application leverages location services, how well does it respond to changes in location? How gracefully does your app handle low bandwidth or disconnected scenarios? Some of these conditions you can test just fine on your own machine, particularly if you have a touch device, but others are a tad more difficult. You can't, for instance, just flip a desktop monitor to simulate portrait mode. Using the built-in simulator with Visual Studio is a great way to vet how your application will respond to a variety of device configurations. The simulator itself is a remote desktop session back into your own machine, so in that regard, it's fairly faithful to running the app for real. Over on the right here are options to engage the various features, and I'll cover these in turn. First, you can pin the simulator to be always on top of other windows you're working with, useful when your debugging in Visual Studio regrabs focus when you're hitting a breakpoint, for instance. By default, the simulator is in mouse mode, but as you'll learn next, there are ways to simulate touch, and this option reverts to using the mouse as your pointer device. If you're developing on a machine that doesn't have touch capability, the simulator provides three touch options. Basic touch mode mimics a single finger touch. In most applications, this should provide the same experience as you'd see with the mouse. In the option to simulate pinch and zoom, you'll see two on-screen touch targets. Scroll the mouse wheel to move the targets closer together or further apart, representing where your fingers would hit the screen if it were a true touch device. Then, with the left mouse button held down, use the mouse scroll wheel to send pinch and zoom events to your app. Rotation touch mode similarly places two targets on the screen, but in this case the mouse wheel movement simulates a clockwise or counterclockwise movement of one touch point around the other. Moving down, you'll see the two options to rotate the device among the four portrait and landscape variations. One thing to keep in mind here is that there is no real interaction with the accelerometer. For instance, if you set your application in the manifest to be only available in portrait mode, the simulator won't respect that. Likewise, switching between these orientations won't be reflected in any of the sensors, such as the accelerometer. You'll want to run your app on an actual device to test out such features. Next up is the option to see how your app will look on a variety of screen resolutions. If you've used responsive design concepts, then your app will hopefully adapt well to the different orientations. If you opted to include scaled versions of images for your tiles and the splash screen, you should also see these leveraged in one or more of the resolution options. For applications that leverage location services, you don't have to drive across town or across country to test. Just enter a lat long of a different location, and your app will treat it as the current one. The next two options are focused on grabbing screenshots. Even if you don't use the simulator for testing, you'll likely use this feature, since you must provide at least one screenshot of your application when you publish it to the Windows Store. Use the camera icon to grab the screenshot, and the settings icon below that to navigate to and modify the location where you're saving the images. When you do take screenshots for uploading with your app, be sure to reset the simulator resolution to 1366 by 768. Also, take time to highlight the most compelling and visually interesting features and screens in your app. This is your chance to sell your application to the people viewing it on the store. For instance, think twice about making your app's splash screen the only image you submit. Lastly, if you need a primer for all of the simulator features, the help icon at the bottom will get you to the documentation site covering the features we've discussed in a bit more detail. Granted, the simulator has a lot of useful features, but there are some nuances of differences from running on an actual device. First of all, there's no substitute for the tactile feedback and intensely personal experience of holding a device and interacting with your application via touch. So if you don't have access to a touch device, consider connecting with your local technical evangelists. We each hold office hours and workshops in the community and have access to devices you can test on. I've put a couple links on the slide here so you can tap into your local resources. There are a few application features that aren't supported on the simulator as well. You'll find, for instance, that the live tile updates you make won't be automatically reflected, and you won't be able to test out push notifications in this environment. But of course, you can do all that by running on the local machine itself versus in the simulator. In spite of these differences, I regularly test my apps in the simulator, and then if I see something not working as I might expect, I give it a try as a full-screen app. Most of the time, of course, the problem is on my end. Once you're satisfied with how your app behaves in the simulator or on an actual device, it's time to submit to the store. So on to the third and final screencast of this series.